Well, we're continuing on in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. We'll be getting into that in a minute. At first, I wanted to tell a little story. A man was driving home from work when he suddenly remembered that it was his daughter's birthday and he'd forgotten to get her anything. So he quickly turned around and ran into O'Toys. Levin greeted him. Levin. And the man asked, "How much for a Barbie doll?" Levin said, "Well, that depends. I've made this whole thing up. You know that, right? Okay." Levin said, "That depends. If you want Barbie Goes to the Gym, it's $19.95. If you want Barbie Goes to the Beach, it's $19.95. If you want Barbie Goes Shopping, it's $24.95. If you want Barbie Goes to the Ball, it's $19.95. If you want Barbie Gets Divorced, it's $249.95. "Wait a minute," said the man. "Why is that one so much more than the others?" He said, "Well, Barbie Gets Divorced comes with Ken's house and Ken's car and Ken's boat and Ken's furniture." One of the advantages of systematically walking through the scriptures, especially like the Sermon on the Mount, is that we really get to dig into the text and mine it for treasures and weave passages together into this beautiful, cohesive tapestry that is the Bible. And not to mention, I just love walking through scripture this way. The disadvantages for some who do this is you come to a passage like the one today and you might want to prefer to call in sick rather than preach on divorce. But we don't shy away from any parts of God's Word here. In fact, if we fail to study the Bible systematically and we tend to cherry-pick verses that only appeal to us while ignoring the context and the rest of Scripture, then it leads to an unbalanced Christian life. And this, in turn, results in failures of practice when we want to learn how to be more Christ-like. Even many commentaries will sort of gloss over the passage that we're going to pick up on today. And it's easy to understand why, because it's such a sensitive topic. If you don't bother to dig into it, if you do bother to dig into it, rather, and you see it has many interpretations, and you'll soon find a lot of influence from the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholicism has, because they view marriage as a sacrament, a way of convening God's grace. This has led to many, I might say, troubling conclusions regarding this topic, because the scriptures end up being manipulated to fit their beliefs rather than the other way around. And so our goal today is going to be to face it honestly. And so I'm going to pray for us now, and then we'll dive into this today. Lord, thank you for your word, even when it can be difficult, and it sometimes is for us to look into it and to look into ourselves, God. And I pray, God, for your grace as we explore this topic today, much like we did when we talked about adultery and sin, God. These can be topics that can be convicting and hard, but we know, God, that you are there, your grace is there for us, and I just pray that you would prepare our hearts today for what you would speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. We're actually on the third of six statements that Jesus said. He said, "Have you heard it said?" statements, I'll call them, and he delivers them in this Sermon on the Mount. We're in the middle of those. And he is providing us with a misinterpretation that the scribes and Pharisees had with his own teaching on the law of Moses. So he is going to teach us the difference between what they were teaching. He wasn't correcting the law of Moses, but rather the false interpretation that was being taught by the experts in the law. And so to proceed, we're going to examine three things. We're going to examine what the law of Moses taught on this particular topic of divorce. Then we're going to see what the experts in the law taught on the this topic of divorce. And then finally, we're going to find out what Christ Himself is going to teach us in that regard. So first of all, we're going to go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to be in chapter 24 rather than diving into our passage today. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we're going to first examine what Moses said so we can find out what we're dealing with here. It says this in 24:1, it says, "If a man marries a woman and she does not please him because he has found something offensive." Something offensive. Some of your Bibles may have uncleanness or something. We'll talk about that. I just want you to remember that portion right there. So if he has found something offensive in her, then he may draw up a divorce document, give it to her, and evict her from his house. When she has left him, she may go and become someone else's wife. If the second husband rejects her and then divorces her, gives her the papers, and evicts her from his house, or if the second husband who married her dies, her first husband who divorced her is not permitted to remarry her after she has become ritually impure. For that is offensive to the Lord. You must not bring guilt on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. This word, in my translation says something offensive. In the Hebrew, it's ervat davar. Ervat davar. It is something that is unseemly. That ervat means naked. So there's something offensive that is deeply offensive, though. Ervat davar means something that is unbecoming of a wife. There's actually a passage back in Deuteronomy 23 that uses this same phraseology. It is something that is deprecatory to a woman, something that is unclean. You may recall all the way back 2 weeks ago when we did talk about adultery, which is interestingly absent from this passage. And as mentioned then, if we go back to the a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that adultery was punishable by death, right? Punishable by death. So in this case, adultery really doesn't apply because the conclusion of the marriage would have been brought about by stoning. So the marriage would be over because if you were an adulterer and caught in adultery, you would have been killed. And so it's not addressed in this passage because the marriage would have ended a different way. So what is the purpose of this legislation here in Deuteronomy that God gave to Moses to give to the people? Well, this Mosaic legislation sought to curb rampant divorce, which had spiraled out of control due to men holding a low view of women, right? Of course, we know from different studies when we walked through the book of Ruth, we saw the patriarchal nature of this society. And they believed that these men believed that they could divorce their wives for any trivial reason, often citing flimsy excuses. And this was grossly unfair to the women and children, and it caused untold suffering for them. So Jesus addresses this issue, interestingly, just preceding the verses that we're going to be looking at today in Matthew 5, just preceding that, Jesus is talking about adultery and lust. And so these issues are in connection with one another. And so Jesus is highlighting the role as the root cause oftentimes of this divorce. He ties these issues directly together in this passage in sequence. So much of like what we've seen in the Sermon on the Mount so far, we find it all closely tied together, and I love that. So the Mosaic Law lays out three principles for divorce. The first prohibited the various flimsy excuses that men were using to divorce their wives, requiring a very specific, serious reason termed offensive or unseemly or uncleanness. And so it had to be proven in the presence of two witnesses. It was far from permitting an easy divorce. So this legislation significantly restricted it. eliminating frivolous and unjust grounds and limiting it to a specific cause. Secondly, he has to provide her with divorce documents. Prior to this, the man could just send her away for any ridiculous reason. This document was presented in the presence of two witnesses again, who could later verify the solemn proceeding if necessary. Then the final step in the Mosaic Law is significant and important. If a man divorces his wife and he provides her with a divorce document, he cannot remarry her. Even if she remarries and divorces another man, or if her second husband dies, she cannot remarry the previous husband. This step emphasizes the gravity of both marriage and divorce, right? It's not something either way to be taken lightly. So you can probably see that the law, as was often the case, and I could provide you with some other examples of that, but I'm not going to at this time, but it would provide the framework of consistency and clarity for people to follow, right? So next we're going to look and see specifically what Jesus is addressing, which is what the scribes and the Pharisees are teaching. They claim that the Mosaic Law commanded or encouraged men to divorce their wives under specific circumstances. But this is inaccurate. The law never mandated divorce. It only stipulated that if a man chose to divorce his wife, he must follow certain conditions. And so we're going to actually flip over to Matthew 19 in our Bible and take a look at some more of Jesus' words there before we get back to our Matthew 5 passage. I'm just going to read this out of Matthew 19, starting in verse 3. Then some Pharisees came to him in order to test him, and they asked, "Is it lawful to divorce a wife for any cause?" He answered, saying, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh?' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." They said to them, "Why did Moses command us to give a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her?" And Jesus said to them, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of your hard hearts. But from the beginning, it was not this way. Now I say to you that whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another commits adultery." So what the Pharisees did was they excused, for pretty much any reason, a man found his wife to be unsatisfactory. So it was kind of like before the law of Moses came, right? Where a man could just put his wife out. And so they were more following along those lines. And so they said that any reason that was unseemly or unbecoming of the wife, which could be practically anything, he said that the Pharisees would say, "Well, you can just divorce her then." But in practice, they were disregarding both the spirit and the letter of the law. And as a result, during Jesus' time, many women face severe injustices, being divorced for trivial and unjust reasons. The only concern that the Pharisees had, interestingly, is the legal formality of providing them with a certificate of divorce. That was their thing, right? Because they meticulously observed those things which they thought were the most important. And so being such sticklers of the law, they wouldn't even disclose the reason for the divorce. They would just hand them a certificate of divorce. And so that brings us finally to the examination regarding this topic. And we're finally getting to our scripture today. But really, the verses over in Matthew 19 are far more telling of what this is. And so our scripture in Matthew 5:31 says this. It was said, remember it was one of those, this is the third of those, "it was said" statements of Jesus, "whoever divorces his wife must give her a legal document. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Like I said, Matthew 19, I think, is far more helpful, where Jesus really develops what he's saying over here in Matthew 5 so much more. And so let's dig a little bit deeper into this Matthew 19 passage to give us some more insight. In verse 3, he says this, "Then some Pharisees came to him in order to test him, and they asked, 'Is it lawful to divorce a wife for any cause?'" And that, so it's very telling what they're saying here, because they actually promoted this. They are giving themselves away in this statement when they say, "Is it lawful to divorce a wife for any cause?" That's their position. You don't have to have a good reason. You just have to have a reason. And so they're trying to trick Jesus in this way. And so Jesus answered them and he says, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female?" And he said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." I find it interesting that they are arguing from the Mosaic law, and what does Jesus do? He goes back before the Mosaic law was ever introduced, right? In do I have any Chronicles of Narnia folks in here? Anybody read the Chronicle? Okay, just a smattering. Okay, there's a few more. Okay, hands are popping up a little bit. If you've read the Chronicles of Narnia or seen the movie, this was referred to as the deeper magic. The deeper magic, right? This is a truth that went way before the law. This was God's ideal standard long before he had to write things out in stone for the people. This is what he said. And so Jesus goes back to this time, to the deeper magic. It was God's original intent when he created Adam and Eve. And marriage isn't a civil matter or a legal contract or even a sacrament. It is a profoundly spiritual act in which two people, a mysterious act in which two people become one flesh. And so there is this unbreakableness about it. We see this concept over in 1 Corinthians 6 where Paul talks about fornication with a prostitute and it results in you becoming one flesh with that prostitute. So then the Pharisees ask them, why was divorce allowed if it wasn't God's original intent? And Jesus says to them, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of your hard hearts, but from the beginning, it was not that way. That's not God's intent. It was because of their hard hearts." And God was had to introduce the law in order to bring order from chaos that was resulting from man's hard heart. And so here is the hard teaching today. Jesus only allows for one excuse, and that is disloyalty of the marriage bed. And that's the only excuse, he says, that justifies divorce. And he doesn't say he commands divorce in that case, right? No matter the difficulties, the stress or the strain or the claims of incompatible temperament, nothing else breaks this indissoluble bond. But disloyalty does provide a basis for dissolving a marriage. But like I said, not a command. Jesus goes on to say that if you divorce your wife for any other reason, you cause her to become an adulterer. He says this in verse 9, "Now I say to you that whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another commits adultery." And so you can close up your Bibles. The reason that this is such a difficult topic is I know that there's many of you in this room who fall into this category. I have many, many family members who are divorced. In fact, multiple times, many of them. In fact, out of all of my cousins, and I have quite a few cousins, I'm the only one who has remained in my marriage, out of all my cousins. Zsa Zsa Gabor was married 9 times. 9 times. In Star Wars language, that is, divorce is strong with this one. Now, I want to be perfectly clear and careful. I don't want to give anyone the impression that I am encouraging sin throughout any of this, even though I'm making light of it at times. But I can't help but think about our modern views and find similarities between the way that we look at divorce and the way that what has happened in our society when no-called or so-called no-fault divorce was introduced in the 1970s. We saw a rapid increase in the divorce. And now, today, marriages have a 40 to 50% lifetime risk of dissolution. In my family, it seems more like 90%. But so many times, it is simply self-serving. My friend Amos, who I don't see Amos. There he is, back there. He's hiding. Okay. He's behind Lucy. Amos and I had a wonderful talk this week as we're preparing for Kenya Sunday coming up. You don't want to miss Kenya Sunday, but the topic of divorce came up, and he said that in Kenya, there are rigid laws that provide roadblocks to divorce so that it isn't as easy or as flippant. And there's also a great deal of stigma, he said, attached to it, which makes it less socially acceptable. And that was there was a period of time in our society when it was like that. But one of the many things that they do, which I think is very practical, is they'll have a waiting period, a separation, a time to think, a time for counsel, and they will encourage both parties to talk to wise elders and attempt to reach reconciliation before finally breaking that unbreakable bond. Unfortunately, Amos said that, and I agree with him, we oftentimes wait too long to make corrections in our path that are necessary until it reaches the crisis stage, right? There's a time when maybe we could do something, but oftentimes we wait too long, and then there's just too much trouble. My personal views on this, my friends, are it's like war. It isn't God's ideal. Sometimes, though, it seems like it's the only solution. But like in war, there are a lot of casualties and very few winners. It is terrible, and it is the result of our hard-heartedness. But let's not forget this. Divorce and adultery are not unforgivable. No one should feel that their sin, if they have entered into this, is beyond God's grace. Repentance and acknowledgement is the first steps in relying on God's infinite love, mercy, and grace. And forgiveness is not only possible, but assured. Your story is yours, and God can use all of it for His glory. Every bit of it. And that story is yours. I want to remind you of that. This week, last week I talked a little bit about the events that have transpired. This week I had the great opportunity to witness just countless videos of people who were coming to Christ through things that have been going on in the world. And it was just, it's just an amazing time. I don't know, it's anecdotal. I'm just seeing it through my own eyes. So I'm not sure that there's revival happening in our country, but it sure seems like it to me. And Kathy Elmont mentioned that they had a wonderful time last night with lots of talk of God and what God is doing in our country right now and how He's moving. And I just got to tell you that the things that I have seen this week have been a testimony to that. That this man, Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated, it's touching people's lives in a way that I wish I could. And so I just wanted to share that when we talk about difficult situations like that, because God can use even things that have gone on in your life for His good. Even things like divorce and adultery and things that we don't really talk about that much, that we don't want people to see because there's a lot of pain that can be associated with those things. And so I just want to remind you that God can use that as well. And if you don't know Him, today is the day. People are coming to Him in droves and saying, I could feel God tugging on my heart. I wanted to show a couple videos this week, but I just couldn't get around to get them in time. One young man had a suit on, and he was standing in front of his, he had his phone on, propped up on a little ledge, and he said, I'm wearing a suit. And they said, I don't remember the last time I wore a suit because I'm going to go to church. I love that. And then he let off a string of profanity that I couldn't use in church. But it was real. It was real. You could tell. That man meant it. He was saying, I'm going to go to Christ. I'm running into His arms. Another girl said, I used to give up my body all the time to whoever because that was the only way that people would accept me. I don't know what's going on in your life, but there is nothing in your life that is not bigger than the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank You for sending Your Son who took sin upon Himself, all of our sins. There's no sin too big for You, God. Thank You, Jesus, because I wouldn't make it if there was. And I'm so grateful for that. God, I just pray for those people in this room today. If You're tugging on someone's heart, God, give them the boldness to let me or one of the elders know, or one of our beautiful ladies in this church that love You so dearly, God. I just pray that You would give them boldness to do that, to come forward so that we could pray for them and encourage them and help guide them on their path, on Your path, God, that You have set out for them. God, I thank You for Your message in Your Word, God. Even though sometimes the words can hurt, they can be hard, God. I just thank You for those words that You can give us freedom through that word as well. And we're so grateful for that. I pray these things through Your Son and through Your Holy Spirit. Amen. I think we've got, do we have another song here? We do.